Sadhana. The simplest thing that you can do to change the health and fundamental structure of your body is to treat the five elements with devotion and respect. Just try this. Every time you are consciously in touch with any of the elements, which you are every moment of your life, just make a conscious attempt to refer to it in terms of whatever you consider to be the ultimate or loftiest ideal in your life. Whether it is Shiva, Rama, Krishna, God, Allah, or even Moksha. You are a psychological being right now, and your mind is full of hierarchy. This process will settle the hierarchy. After some time, the word can fall away, but you instantly see the change as the number of truly conscious moments in your life increases. The air that you breathe, the food that you eat, the water that you drink, the land that you walk upon, and the very space that holds you, every one of them offers you a divine possibility. Enshrining the elements. In southern India, five major temples were built for each of the five elements. These temples were created not for worship, but to facilitate specific type of spiritual practice. To cleanse the water element, you would go to your particular temple and do one kind of practice. To cleanse the element of air, you would go to another. In this manner, five wonderful temples were created for each of the elements, infused with the kind of energy that assisted a particular type of spiritual practice. Traditionally, seekers traveled from one temple to another to be initiated into practices that enabled them to have mastery over the elements and to achieve healing, well-being, and even transcendence. These five temples were built so that they functioned as one system. This was a phenomenal technology. Those who knew the appropriate spiritual practice could make use of it. Those who did not know the practice could benefit just by living in that region. The temples still exist. Even those who do not understand their energy significance marvel at these magnificent works of architecture. When shit hit the ceiling, once it happened, one day in the court, the Emperor Akbar asked, "What do you think gives the most pleasure to a person?" There was a chorus of responses. One courtier said, "Serving God is the greatest pleasure, Your Highness." There are always all manner of sycophants around emperors. So someone else said, "Oh my lord, serving you is the greatest pleasure I can conceive of." A third courtier said, "Just gazing at your face is the ultimate joy." The hyperbole poured forth. Birbal, the wise, just sat there bored. Akbar asked, "Birbal, what makes you so silent? What is it that gives you the greatest pleasure?" Birbal said, "Shitting." Until then, Akbar was feeling great with all the fawning and adoration. Now he got mad. He said, "For uttering such an obscenity in court, you had better prove it. If you cannot prove it, your life is at risk." Birbal said, "Give me a fortnight, Your Highness. I will prove it to you." Akbar said, "Fine." The next weekend, Birbal organized a hunting trip for Akbar into the forest, and made sure all the women folk in the palace also traveled on this expedition. He set up the camp in such a way that Akbar's tent was in the center. All around he placed the families, women and children. He told the catering department to produce the best food. They produced the choicest delicacies, and Akbar ate well. He was on a vacation after all. The next morning, when he got up and came out, he saw that there was no toilet tent. He went back into his tent and walked up and down, but the pressure was building up. He tried to go into the forest, but Birbal had made sure women folk were all over the place. The pressure built up by the minute. It was about 12 noon, and Akbar couldn't bear it anymore. He was just about to burst. Birbal, who was watching this whole scene, kept walking around muttering, "Toilet tent, where to put it, where to put it?" He was simply creating confusion and delaying the matters a little longer. The emperor was full of shit. Just when there was no more time left, they managed to set up the toilet tent. Akbar went in and moaned with relief. Then Birbal, who was waiting for him outside the tent, asked, "Do you agree with me now?" Akbar said, "It is the greatest pleasure." Relief from something that you cannot hold within you is always the greatest pleasure, isn't it? Whatever that thing may be. So the body can become an issue, a big issue, a barrier between you and your enjoyment of life. If you want to maintain the body in a certain way, it is important to pay attention to the various activities of the body in relation to food, sleep, and sex. We will look at each of these in turn in the next few pages. Sadhana. It is important not to keep eating through the day. If you are below 30 years of age, 3 meals every day will fit well into your life. If you're over 30 years of age, it is best to reduce it to 2 meals per day. Our body and brain work at their best only when the stomach bag is empty. So be conscious of eating in such a way that within 2.5 hours, your food moves out of the stomach and within 12 to 18 hours, completely out of the system. With this simple awareness, you will experience much more energy, agility, and alertness. These are the ingredients of a successful life, irrespective of what you choose to do with it. Food as fuel. Your physical body is just an accumulation of food. Yoga pays much attention to food because what kind of food you put into the system has a tremendous impact on the kind of body you have constructed. There is a whole yogic science behind what to eat, how to eat, and when to eat. What kind of stuff you put into it determines the quality of the body and how comfortable it is with itself. Are you preparing this body to run as swiftly as a cheetah? Or are you preparing this body to carry 200 pounds? Or are you preparing this body so that it becomes conducive for higher meditative possibilities? You need to eat the right kind of food depending on your inclination and what you want out of your life. The way you eat not only decides your physical health, but the very way you think, feel, and experience life. Trying to eat intelligently means understanding what kind of fuel this body is designed for and accordingly supplying it, so that it functions at its best. Let us say you bought a gasoline car but pumped diesel into it. It might still move around, but it would not function at its optimal capacity, and its lifespan would also be substantially reduced. Similarly, if we do not understand what kind of fuel this body is designed for, if we just force whatever comes onto our plate into our systems, it will definitely not function at its optimum capacity, and its longevity could be seriously compromised. the compatibility of the fuel and the machine is of great importance if you are seeking a certain caliber of service. What kind of food is the human system really designed for? If you eat certain foods, the body becomes happy. If you eat certain other foods, the body turns dull and lethargic, and your sleep quota increases. If you sleep for 8 hours a day and you live 100 years, you have spent 1/3 of your life sleeping. Another 30 or 40% is spent on food, toilet and other ablutions. There is very little time left for life. You eat food for energy, but if you eat a big meal, do you feel energetic or lethargic? Depending upon the quality of the food that you eat, you first feel lethargy and then slowly you start feeling energetic. Why is this so? One aspect is the fact that your system cannot digest cooked food as it is. It needs certain enzymes to do so. All the enzymes necessary for the digestive process are not present in the body alone. The food that you eat also contains these enzymes. When you cook the food, generally 80 to 90% of the enzymes are destroyed. So the body is struggling to reconstitute these destroyed enzymes. The enzymes that you destroy in cooking can never be totally reconstituted. So generally, for most human beings, about 50% of the food that they eat becomes waste. Another aspect is the stress on the system. The body has to process all this food just to get a small quota of energy for its daily activity. If we ate foods with necessary enzymes, the system would be functioning at a completely different level of efficiency and the conversion ratio of food to energy would be very different. Eating natural foods in their uncooked condition, when the cells are still alive, will bring an enormous sense of health and vitality to the system. One can easily experiment with this. Don't ask your doctor, your nutritionist, or your yoga teacher. When it comes to food, it is about the body. Ask the body what kind of food it is most comfortable with, not your tongue. The kind of food your body feels most comfortable with is always the ideal food to eat. You must learn to listen to your body. As your body awareness evolves, you will know exactly what a certain food will do to you. You do not even have to put it into your mouth. You can develop this kind of heightened sensitivity whereby just looking at or touching the food will be enough for you to know its potential impact on your system.